们，大家晚上好。今天是2020年10月13号星期五的晚上。那我们今天呢，又非常的荣幸的，由我们敬爱的阿叔 Krishna Baladev Prabhu 为我们继续讲述《Mahabharata》伟大的巴拉达，敬请聆听。Hare Krishna。
Hare Krishna。Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya。
Om 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 Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya。
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine。Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunavari Pashata Deshatarine Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Panchakalpatarubhyacha Kripa Sindubhyaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha。Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sarvaita Garadara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare。 Good evening, my dear devotees.
我亲爱的奉献者们，大家晚上好。
So last timeWe saw how Queen Satyavati and her daughters-in-law Ambika and Ambalika, on the advice of Srila Vyasadeva, they have given up the life in the forest, in the palace, to go to the forest and perform austerities and meditation on the Supreme Lord.
我们上一次呢，听到了萨提亚巴提皇后她如何带着她的两个儿媳妇儿安比卡和安巴利卡，在舒拉维亚萨德的建议之下呢，来到了这个喜马拉雅山上，然后呢在山里面进行苦修，进行冥想，进行自我觉悟的修习。
I didn't say Himalaya mountain, I said forest.
Oh, sorry, sorry. 他们进的不是喜马拉雅山，是进的是森林。Sorry.
So, yes, Satyavati and her daughters-in-law, they meditate on the Supreme Lord because they were guided by Srila Vyasadeva, who is a Shaktyavesha incarnation of the Lord.
那么Satyavati 和他的两个儿媳妇呢，是在主的 Shaktyavesha 的化身，Srila Vyasadeva 的指导之下，在冥想着至尊主。
So real meditation is to focus on our minds on the transcendental form of the Lord.
那真正的冥想呢，是把我们的心意专注在主的超然的形象上。
In previous ages, persons were so pious that they could go to the forest and meditate on the form of the Lord until they will attain perfection and leave their bodies.
在之前的年代呢，人们是非常的虔诚的，以至于他们是可以去到森林里面去冥想主的超人形象，直到他们达到完美。
But people in Kali Yuga are not so advanced.
但是呢，在卡利年代的人们呢，就达不到这样的状态，没有办法做到这么的精进。
If they go to the forest and they don't have a signal in their cell phone, they panic.
如果他们要是到了森林里面，他们如果就他们到了森林里面呢，他们其实是会感到恐惧的，是会感到这个惊恐的。
No, you didn't follow everything. If they go to the forest and they have no signal in their cell phones, they panic.
当他们到了这个森林里面，如果他们要是没有手机带在身边的话，他们就会感到很恐慌。
So they don't like to go to the forest in this age.
对呢，在这个年代的人们是不想去到森林里的。
But fortunately, Lord Krishna's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu you know, told us and taught us how to fix our minds on the holy name of the Lord.
但是呢，我们非常的幸运，由 Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢，他告诉我们如何把我们的心意专注在圣名之上。
So we learned also last Friday how Duryodhana's strong desire was to somehow or other get the throne and become the king.
那从上个星期五的这节课里面，我们也听到了 Duryodhana 他是具有强烈的欲望，无论要采取什么样的手段，要让自己登上王位。
He was so possessed by greed.
所以呢，他完全是被贪婪所占据着的。
He had a typical mentality of a demonic person.
所以呢，他是一个非常典型的具有恶魔心态的人。
Do you have a Bhagavad Gita next to you?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Can you open chapter 13 and read from verses 13 to 15?
Okay.我们现在是
chapter 13 and verses 13 to 15, and where Krishna explains the demonic people.
Okay, 我们现在呢打开的是《薄伽梵歌》第十三章，然后我们要读的是第十三到第十五十节。在这里呢 ，Sri Krishna 他就描述了恶魔形态的人是什么样子的。第十三节，我现在要解释什么是可认识的，认识到这些后，你就会。品尝永恒，凡灵魂不经出生就存在，从属于我。Yes, this is chapter 13. Yeah.
Text 13 to 15.
Yeah. Is that chapter 12? I think it's chapter 12.
Okay, the demonic and divine natures. Demonic and divine nature. Let me see again. Some problem here. One second.
稍等一下，我们再看一下这个时间。
This is chapter 16, 13 to 15.
对，我们现在看的是《薄伽梵歌》的第十六章啊，第十六章的第十三到第十五十节。邪恶之徒在想，我今天拥有这么多的财富，按我的计划还会得到更多。现在这么多都是我的，将来会越来越多。他是我的敌人，我已经杀了他，我其他的敌人也会被杀掉。我是一切的主人，我是享受者。我完美、有力、快乐，我最富有，周围都是贵族亲戚，没人像我这么快乐、有势力。我要举行祭祀，我要施舍，以使自己高兴。这种人就这样被愚昧蒙蔽了。
So you can see, it's very, very clear that Krishna really explains very clear the mentality of the demonic people.
就在这里呢 ，Krishna 是非常的清晰的解释了具有恶魔心态的人是什么样的状态。
So because Duryodhana was very arrogant, very 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 proud, he had because of his demonic qualities, he could not really appreciate the spiritual qualities of the Pandavas.
那因为 Duryodhana 呢，他是具有恶魔心态的，而且呢，他也是非常的自负、非常骄傲的。所以他没有办法欣赏到 Pandava 兄弟们所具有的神性的品质。
And he and his brother, they commit very serious offenses against the Pandavas.
所以说呢，他和他的兄弟们，就因为反对 Pandava, 所以犯下了很大的冒犯。
And this would result in the annihilation of the entire dynasty later on.
所以这就导致了后来的整个的王族的毁灭。
So we saw in a previous chapter how he had tried to poison Bhima by giving him a poison cake, killing him by giving a poison cake.
在之前的章节里面呢，我们也看到了他如何 用毒蛋糕要毒死毕马，要毒害毕马。
So the Pandavas and their mother Kunti were completely helpless.
对，潘达瓦兄弟以及他们的母亲昆蒂皇后呢，是完全处于很无助的状态的。
And that is encouraged them to take more shelter of Krishna.
但是这个呢，就激励着他们要更好的托庇于 Sri Krishna.
And you're going to hear in many instances how Krishna is going to be with them to protect them.
那我们将会听到很多的事例，来看到 Krishna 如何就在他们的身旁，在保护着他们。
In our prayers in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Mother Kunti, she prays to Krishna how Krishna had protected them from the very beginning, and she mentions the poison cake.
在圣典薄伽瓦坛第一篇里，在昆蒂皇后的祈祷中，在最开始的时候，她就赞扬着 Sri Krishna 如何他们在 Krishna 的保护之中。那在最开始他就提到了 Bhima 如何被毒蛋糕所毒。
So they underwent so many tribulations, so many ordeals.
对呢，他们是经过了很多的痛苦的，他们是经过了很多的灾难的。
But they did the right thing. They took shelter of Krishna and they were protected by the Lord.
但是呢，他们却做了正确的事情，就是他们托庇在 Krishna 的庇护之下，他们是得到了 Krishna 的保护。
So this is something that we can learn from the Pandavas and Kunti Maharani to take more shelter of Krishna, so in time of difficulties we can surmount them.
所以说我们就是从 Kunti Maharani 以及 Pandava 兄弟这里就学到了这样的一个。教导就是要托庇在 Sri Krishna 的保护之下，这样当我们遇到困难的时候呢，我们因为有 Sri Krishna 的保护，所以我们就能逾越这些困难。
So tonight we're going to hear about Dronacharya.
那今天晚上呢，我们将聆听的是关于 Dronacharya 的故事。
The five Pandavas and the other princes, the Duryodhana and his 99 brothers, they were growing into adolescence, becoming young boys, so young men. So Maharaj Bhishma was very concerned about their to find a suitable teacher for them to teach them how to use the skills of Kshatriya.
此时的 Pandava 兄弟们以及 Duryodhana 还有 Duryodhana 的这99个弟弟呢，都已经度过了少年期，度过了青春期，现在已经长成了年轻人了。那么 Bhishma 祖父呢，就非常的担忧着如何为他们找一位好的老师，让他们能够学好，成为沙地利的技艺。
They were not really young men. They were still boys, probably in their 12 years old, around that 10-12 years old. That's when they start learning many of the skills of Kshatriyas.
他们现在其实还不是小伙子的样呢，他们现在其实还是少年，也就差不多是12岁的年纪，他们从这个12岁的这个年纪的时候呢，就开始去学习这些沙地利的技艺。
So one time the princes, all the princes, they were playing ball in a, and then they near the forest, and then they entered in the forest to play and to continue playing with the ball, and then suddenly their ball fell into a well.
那有一天呢，这些王子们就在森林的附近玩球，然后呢，他们就进入到了这个森林里面，然后突然之间呢，他们玩的这个球呢，就掉到了井里。
And they could not retrieve it, could not get it back.
他们就没有办法把这个球从井里面给捞上来。
And they were looking, you know, how to do it with a stick, with this, but they could not take out the ball.
所以他们就想着各种各样的办法，用棍够啊，各种各样的办法，但怎么都没有办法把这个球给拿回来。
As suddenly a brahmana who had just finished to perform his sacrifices, you know, and came there to see what the boys were doing.
那这会儿突然之间呢，有一位刚刚结束他的祭祀仪式的婆罗门就经过这里，所以他就来看看这些孩子们在干嘛。
He was dressed in white clothes.
他穿着白色的衣服。
He looked very thin, but very effulgent because performing many austerities and sacrifices.
那么他看着很清瘦，但是呢，他却是绽放着光芒的。原因就是因为他做了很多的苦行，而且也进行了很多的祭祀的活动。
And when he found out what the boys were trying to do, he scolded them. What kind of kshatriyas are you?
然后呢，当他看到这些男孩子们正在使劲够这球的时候呢，然后呢他就骂了他们一顿，就说你们到底都是什么样的沙地利呀？
You were born in such a exalted dynasty, and you cannot even recover your ball from the well.
你们是出生在如此荣耀，就如此辉煌的这么一个王朝里面，可是你们就连一个球都从井里面够不出来吗？
So he went near the well. He took out his ring from his finger.Took out his ring off from his finger and dropped in a well, and the ring landed on a ball.
然后呢，他就来到了这个井边，然后呢，从他的手指上摘下他的戒指，然后把这戒指呢就丢到了这个井里面，然后这个戒指呢就掉在了球上。
So expert, the ring fell on the ball.
所以呢，他是非常精妙的将这个戒指。
Then he took from the ground, he took a bunch of grass, handful of grass.
然后呢，他又从地上抓了一把草。
And look at the grass in the bunch of grass in his hand, and he chanted some mantras, and all these blades of grass turned into arrows.
然后呢，他看着手里的这把草，对着这些草呢念了一些咒语，然后这些草就变成了一把剑，就是变成了就是一堆剑。
He took one of the bows of the boys and with the arrows he pierced the ring and catch the ball simultaneously.
然后他就从其中的这个男孩这儿拿过他手中的弓，然后用他手中的剑搭弓射箭，射向了井里面的这个球，然后他一下子呢就射中了搭在球上的这个戒指，然后同时呢也把这个球给射中了。
And then very expertly, he starts shooting one arrow after another, catching the previous arrow from the tip, and in this way he make a chain of arrows.Until the top of the well, and then just pull out all the arrows together, and the ball came out.
然后呢，他是非常精妙的，接连着射着箭，然后每一支箭呢都能够射中前面那支箭的箭靶、箭尾，然后这样呢就使得整个这些箭呢变成了一条链子。最后呢，他就拖着在井外面的这根箭，一下子把这个球就这样给拽上来了。
So he made like a rope. He made like a rope by shooting arrows one on top of each other and make a rope until the top and then just pull out very carefully and the ball came with the arrows.
他等于其实就是用这些箭很仔细的把它们给射在一起，然后从而呢使这个箭就好像是拴起来的一整根绳子一样，然后他就很小心的拽着这个箭，然后把这球给拽上来了。
Wow, the boys were amazed.
然后这会儿这些孩子们可都是惊呆了。
And they offer obeisance to the Brahma. So, wow, my dear Brahma, who are you? You have such skills. Who are you? How can we render some service to you?
然后呢，所有的这些孩子们都向这位婆罗门顶拜。并且对他说道啊，我亲爱的婆罗门呀，我亲爱的 Brahma 呢，你实在是太棒了，您到底是谁呀？我们怎么能够为您做些服务呢？
So the Brahma told them, you go to Bhishma.
然后 这位婆罗门对他们说，你们去找毕什玛。
And you just tell him how I look like and what you just have seen.
然后呢，你们就对毕什玛来描述一下我的长相，然后呢，对他说，你们刚才都看到了一些什么场景。
And he will tell you when.
然后他就会告诉你们我是谁。
So the boys were very, very excited, and they run back to the palace to find Bhishma.
那这些孩子们可就特别的兴奋，就一路奔回了宫殿里面去找 Bhishma.
So when Bhishma heard from the boys all the details, he smiled and said, "Wow, this is Drona."
然后当 Bhishma 祖父听到了孩子们对他的这一番描述之后呢，他就笑了，他说，这位是 Drona。
Dronacharya. Then he make arrangement. He went outside of the city. Bhishma went outside of the city to meet the, to find the Brahman and brought him into the palace.
然后 Bhishma 祖父呢就做了一番安排，他就来到了城外来迎接 Dronacharya， 并且把 Dronacharya 呢给迎进了宫殿。
So he asked Dronacharya for.Well, where you come from? How you came to Hastinapur? What's your purpose?
然后Bhishma祖父就问Dronacharya，你是从哪儿来的呀？你怎么会来到Hastinapur呢？你来这儿有什么贵干呢？
Dronacharya explained to Bhishma.
所以Dronacharya就向Bhishma祖父解释了。
He said, "You see, in my young years, in my young age, I lived in the ashram with my teacher, along with the prince of Panchala, the prince Drupada."
那么当时就在我年轻的时候呢，我是住在我老师的 ashram 里。当时呢，还有Panchala 的王子 Drupada 王子和我们在一起。
I give you the name. This was.The Panchala prince Drupada was his schoolmate, ashram mate.
就是他当时有这么一位同学，就是 Panchala 的王子，他的名字叫 Drupada.
So we became very close friends.
当时呢，我们就成了好朋友。
And later, when we separate, he told me that any time I have any need to come to him.
后来等我们分手的时候呢，朱菩萨就对我说，以后我有任何的需求，我都可以去找他。
He said that he would inherit the king of his father, and since they were very good friends, and the boys were very good friends, he promised to give him half of the kingdom to Dronacharya.
因为他们是非常好的朋友，所以呢，朱菩萨当时就承诺 Dronacharya 说呢，会把他的父亲的王国的一半分给他。
So after they graduate from their studies in ashram, Drupada went back to his country to live with his father, the king, and Dronacharya got married.
对，等他们学成之后呢，朱菩萨就回到了他父亲的王国里面，继续和他的父亲一起生活。而 Dronacharya 呢，就成婚了，成家了。
He was married with Kripi, the daughter of the sage Gotama.
他当时呢，就娶了圣人 Gotama 的女儿 Kripi.
And they got a son named Ashvatthama.
他们当时呢就生了一个儿子，这儿子的名字呢叫 Ashvatthama。
We're going to hear about Ashvatthama as we hear from him also in the Bhagavatam.
那我们呢将会听到 Ashvatthama 的事迹，那我们在圣典薄伽瓦坛里面呢也听到过他的事情。
Later on he's going to create big trouble.
晚点的时候呢他将惹下很多的麻烦，大麻烦。
So Dronacharya was telling his story to Bhishma and said, I was very, very poor As I was so poor that I could not feed my son with real milk because I did not have the means.
庄那昌人呢，就像 Bhishma 祖父在讲述他的身世，他就说呢，其实我非常的穷，所以说呢，因为我没有这个生计的这个手段，所以说呢，我没有办法用真正的牛奶喂给我的儿子喝。
So I decided to go to the kingdom.Drupada and see him, visit him.
所以呢，我就决定去到 Drupada 的王国，然后呢，去拜访他一下。
At that time, Drupada was already the king.
那么当时呢 ，Drupada 已经成王了。
So when I enter, when I finally had the opportunity to meet him, I greeted him very, very happily. Oh, my old friend.This I am Drona. Remember your old friend.
所以当我来到他的王国之后呢，我开始就非常开心的见到他。然后呢，我就问他：“你还记得我吗？我是你的老朋友，我是 Drona。”
Drupada was very, very. His behavior was not good. You know, kind of a, you know, discard. You know, didn't give any respect to Drona.
但是当时，Drupada 他的这个反应是非常不好的，他是，根本就不理事，是漠视的那种，他就完全不理，Dronacharya。
So you are just a poor Brahman. How can you address me as your friend?
对，没有对他表示尊敬，他就说，你只不过是一个很穷的婆罗门，你怎么能说你是我的朋友呢？
If in the past, when we were young, we were friends, it was for some particular reason.
那在之前，当我们是小孩的时候，我们是好朋友，但当时是有一个特定的原因，我们才成为朋友的。
Friendship can only exist between persons of equal status.
友谊只能是在平等的两个人之间才能产生。
We don't see friendship between the rich and the poor, or between a coward and a hero.
那我们不可能在一个穷人或富人之间看到他们的友谊之情，也不可能在英雄和胆小鬼之间看到他们能够发展出友谊之情。
I don't remember having promised you half of my kingdom.
我根本就不记得我曾经还许诺过给你我的半个王国。
It seems something that you are imagining.
这好像是你自己想象出来的。
But I'll give you food and shelter for one night.
但是呢，我今天晚上会给你一些吃的，然后会给你一个住的地方。
So Dronacharya was very hurt.By these abusive words of Drupada.
对，就被 Drupada 的这一番很凌辱的言语呢，就伤透。这个就 Drupada 这一番很凌辱的言语呢，就很伤 Dronacharya 的心。
So he left his kingdom, Drupada's kingdom, and he made a vow to win half of his kingdom.
所以 Dronacharya 他就离开了 Drupada 的王国，并且他发下了誓言。他说：“我要赢得朱伯德的半个王国。”
So he told Bhishma, "Now I have the desire to train very competent students who can conquer the pride of this proud king."
所以，朱那查热就对Bhishma Deep说呢：“现在我有这样的愿望，就是我要训练非常有能力的这个学生，然后呢，让这些学生去。”赢得朱帕达的王国，然后呢，来打击他的骄傲之情。
I have received all the celestial weapons that were used by Parashuram. I received from himself.
那我从 Parashurama 那里，就是我从 Parashurama 本人那里得到了所有的天仙的武器。
Because I am a Brahmana, he taught me all this complete science of using celestial weapons.
因为我是一位婆罗门，所以说呢，他亲自传授给了我如何去使用所有的这些天国的 母亲。
So when Dronacharya heard this from, when the Bhishma heard this from Dronacharya, he begged him, "You, please, my dear Brahmana, you just stay here and accept the sons of Pandu and Dhritarashtra as your disciples."
所以，当 Bhishma Dev 听到了 Dronacharya 的这一番讲述之后呢，他就祈求他，求你了，你就待在这儿吧，您就把 Pandava 就是把 Pandu 的这些儿子，还有 Dronacharya 的这些儿子们当成您的学生吧。
So he gave him a very suitable place to stay with all kind of opulence, you know, all kind of facilities.
所以 Bhishma Dev 呢就给他安排了很好的住处，然后也给他配上了各种各样的富裕的设施。
And soon after that, Dronacharya started teaching the young princes.
所以呢，就在这以后，就在这之后不久呢 ，Dronacharya 就开始。教授这些年轻的王子们了。
He taught equally the sons of Pandu and the sons of Dhritarashtra. He didn't make any distinction.
他是平等的对待 Dhritarashtra 王的所有的儿子们以及 Pandu 王的所有的儿子们，他是没有任何的分辨心的。
But even though all the boys received the same instructions from Dronacharya, Arjuna really became the best students amongst all of them.
但是虽然所有的这些孩子们得到了 Dronacharya 的相同的教导，但是呢，Arjuna 显现为是一个非常出类拔萃的学生。
Because Arjuna also had a very faithful attitude to Dronacharya.
因为 Arjuna 呢，他对 Dronacharya 也是非常的有信心的，他对他是就是有很有这个信心的那种态度去对待他。
One time, Dronacharya gave to all his students a vessel, you know, a pot with a very narrow opening, you know, mouth, a very narrow opening, and he told them to go and fill with water.
然后有一次呢 ，Dronacharya 就给所有的这些学生们一人一个罐子。那这个罐子前面的这个开口处呢是非常小的，很窄，所以他就让这些孩子们呢到河边去把这个罐子灌满水。
But to his own son Ashwatthama, he gave a pot with a very open mouth.
但是呢，给他自己的儿子 Ashwatthama 的这个罐子呢？却是敞开口的。
In this way, Ashwatthama could be the first to fill up with pot and come back to his father and receive special instructions. So Dronacharya wanted to give a special favor to his own son.
那所以就这样的方式呢，就使得 Ashwatthama 就能够以最快的方式把这个罐子的水灌满，然后呢，他就能够成为第一个回到他父亲边上的人。那从而呢，就可以。得到他父亲的一些特别的传授，那Dronacharya呢也希望通过这样的方式呢，能够特别的优待一下他的儿子。
So when Arjuna got to know this, Arjuna, you know, by the use of a special celestial mantra, Varuna Astra, he could produce water without going to the fountain, and he filled up his jar, his pot of water at the same time as Ashwatthama.
所以当尔朱呢他得知这个消息之后呢，他就用了What is the name of the mantra? Varuna Astra. 然后呢他就用了 Varuna Astra 这么一个特别的咒语，然后通过这个咒语呢，他就可以从就是把这个罐子这个水就给灌满了。所以呢他就用通过这个咒语和 Ashwatthama 在同一时间内把罐子给灌满了水。
So, Dronacharya started noticing, it was very obvious that Arjuna was at the strongest desire to learn.
那么就通过这个呢Dronacharya 就注意到了 Arjuna 他的学习的愿望是非常的强的。
So it naturally became, he became Dronacharya's favorite student.
那所以说呢，他也就很自然的成为了 Dronacharya 最爱的门生。
One time Dronacharya told his cook, "You never serve Arjuna any food in the dark, and don't tell him that I have given you this order."
Never serve Arjuna food in the dark.
In the dark.
Okay.
Yeah.
In the dark. Okay. 然后有一次呢 ，Dronacharya 就对厨师说呢，永远都不要在黑暗的地方给Arjuna吃饭。那么而且呢，你也不能跟，
night,
也就是说不要在晚上。
Like a night without light, yeah. So
okay,
and don't tell him I told you this.
Yeah, 那也就是其实也就是说呢，就是不要在晚上没有灯光的地方给Arjuna吃饭，而且呢，不要跟Arjuna说是我让你这么干的。
But one night, Arjuna was taking his food in his tent when they were camping in a forest. And he was going to take his food in the night, and he had a candle. And the wind suddenly blew up the candle, and he continued eating. Even though it was dark, he was eating. He was seeing the food.
那然后有一天呢，因为他们在外面扎营，然后在晚上的时候呢，他们在帐篷里面，然后Arjuna呢，因为帐篷里面点着蜡烛。他就准备要吃，他就要就是在点着蜡烛的这种情况下呢吃饭，然后突然之间呢，这个风一过来呢，就把这蜡烛就给吹灭了，所以呢就暗了。但是呢，尔朱呢，他依然能够在这种暗的这种情况下能够看到食物，他在继续吃着。
So, and then he thought, if I can eat in the dark, I can also practice how to use my bow in the dark.
然后尔朱呢就在想，如果我要是在看不见的情况下都能吃东西的话，那也就意味着我也能在看不见的情况下练习射箭。
So he started training himself during the night. He would not sleep.
所以说呢，尔朱呢他晚上就不睡觉了，他就开始在晚上练习训练。
And Srila Prabhupada mentions this in the Bhagavad Gita.
就是爸爸在《佛家梵歌》里面提到了这一点。
He says how Arjuna, another name of Arjuna, was good at cache. He could control the sleep, and he could continue shooting arrows, training himself during the night.
那 Arjuna 的名字呢叫 good at cache， 也就是说他是控制了睡眠的人，他可以控制自己不睡觉，并且呢，他可以在晚上继续的去训练着去射箭。
So one Dronacharya heard about this, about how Arjuna was practicing during the night instead of sleeping. Dronacharya came to him and he was so amazed and embraced him.
当 Dronacharya 他听说 Arjuna 在晚上不睡觉，而且在苦练射箭的这个功夫的时候呢，他就觉得非常的惊叹，然后呢，他就来到了Arjuna 的面前，然后拥抱了他。
He was so happy with Arjuna.
所以说呢，Dronacharya 是非常的满意于 Arjuna 的，非常被他取悦。
You are my best student.
你是我最好的学生。
And I will give you a blessing that there will never be an archer, a bowman, equal to you in this world.
那我呢要给你一个祝福，就是在这个世界不可能还有比你更强的弓箭手了。
Then Dronacharya start teaching him with more, giving him more attention, teaching him different ways of fighting.
所以呢 ，Dronacharya 就给了Arjuna更多的关怀跟关注，然后呢就教授他更多的关于打斗的技艺。
He taught him how to fight from a horse, mounting in a horse.
然后教他如何在马上打仗。
How to fight on the back of an elephant.
以及如何坐在象背上打仗。
How to fight on a chariot like he did in Kurukshetra.
如何在战车上，比如就像在 Kurukshetra 战场上所做的那样，如何在战车上打仗。
And also how to fight on the ground. So in different situations, how he could be expert in fighting.
以及呢如何在陆地上打斗，那所以就以这样的方式呢使他成为了一个打斗的专家，就成为了一个打斗的高手。
It taught him how to fight not only with the bow and arrows, but also how to fight with a club.
他所传授的呢不仅仅是如何射箭，而且也教了他如何用大棒。
How to fight with a sword.
如何用剑。
How to fight with a javelin. Javelin is a kind of an axe. You see the picture of Parashuram is fighting with an axe. With a handle, you know, and then there's hacks and then
yeah,
chopping heads, you know.
Yeah. 如何用这个斧子来作战？比如说，我们在这个图片上看到 Parashurama， 他就用这个斧子来打斗的。
And how to fight with a dart? Dart are very very small arrows, but very fast arrows.
然后呢，还有就是用一种很小的剑，但是呢，就是穿行很快的那种剑来打斗。
Because they are very small and they fly very fast, they can really penetrate any particular body.
这可能有点像那种飞镖似的那种东西，就是非常的小，但是呢，它的速度很快，所以呢，它可以穿透各种各样的躯体。
So he trained him how to use many weapons at one time.
而且所以呢他就训练他如何在同一时刻去运用各种各样的武器。
And how to find with many men at the same time.
以及呢如何在同一时刻能够一人打多人。
This is very, 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 very important because these skills Arjuna is going to use later on in Kurukshetra.
那所有的这些都是非常重要的，因为所有的这些技艺呢都是后来尔朱呢在 Kurukshetra 的战场上要运用到的。
So when the news of Dronacharya's teaching to these princes start circulating, many princes from other kingdoms start to coming, you know, to enroll as students of Dronacharya.
关于 Dronacharya 教授这些王子们武艺的这个消息呢，就在所有的王国中传开了。那么其他的王国的这些王子们呢，也都来到这里，希望能够成为 Dronacharya 的学生。阿叔 ，Are you there?
I mean, sorry. So everybody was so eager, you know, many princes from different places and in the planet, they wanted to be trained by Dronacharya.
对呢，就在这个星球中的很多王国的这些王子们呢，都非常的渴望能够被 Dronacharya 所培训。
So there was also a prince of.His name was Ekalavya. Ekalavya was the prince of Nishadas. Nishadas are like a very low class people. They're very low class people then live in a jungle like hunters, you know. But he was a prince of these Nishadas, you know.
那就是有一个 就是有一位王子，他叫 Ekalavya。那他是来自于 Nishadas 的王国的，但是这个 Nishadas 呢，他是一个很低等的王国，他是在丛林中的一个王国。
They are lower than Shudras.
所以呢，他们的级别要比 Shudra 还要低。
But even though he was from a lower caste, Dronacharya was afraid.To teach him because he was so eager to learn, he might become very expert in fighting. So Dronacharya refused to accept him as his student.
但是他呢，这种想要学习的这种愿望实在太强烈了，他非常的渴望要和 Dronacharya 要练习武艺， 那这样就是 Dronacharya 很害怕，就拒绝了他作为他的学生，因为他怕他将来就会武艺非常的高超，会学得很棒。
And these people live in a forest. They're hunters, so they're very expert fighters.
而且这些人呢，他们是生活在森林里面的，他们都是猎人，所以呢，他们是天生的非常的技艺高超的打仗者。
So Dronacharya refused him as a student.
对 ，Dronacharya 呢就拒绝他，不接受他为学生。
But Ekalavya, he offered respects to Dronacharya, offered his obeisance to Dronacharya, went back to the forest, and he made a clay image, like a deity, a clay of Dronacharya, and started to worship that deity.
但是 Ekalavya 呢，他对 Dronacharya 很尊重，所以呢就向他顶拜，然后呢就离开了，他就回到了自己的森林里面。当他到了丛林之后呢，他就用泥土、用陶土捏制了一尊 Dronacharya 的神像，他的肖像。
So he start practicing. He start practicing in front of the deity of Dronacharya.
所以呢，他就开始在 Dronacharya 的雕像面前开始进行训练。
And he became very expert.
然后他就变得技艺非常的高超。
So one day, the Pandavas and the Dhritarashtra children, they were in a forest for hunting.
那有一天呢，Pandava 兄弟们还有Dhritarashtra 的这些孩子们呢，他们都到丛林里面进行打猎。
So they brought with them a dog.Who could help go ahead and help to find wild animals ferocious animals.
他们当时呢带了一条领路狗，然后要这条狗呢帮他们在前面先探路，先找到这些凶猛的动物。
So the dog would go ahead. When the dog would meet at any ferocious animal, the dog would start barking, and then the princess would come and would kill the.Who killed the ferocious animal?
对这个狗呢，就会在前面先打头阵，然后当狗找到了凶猛的动物的时候呢，狗就会吠叫，然后这狗一叫呢，这些王子们就会跟上，然后杀死这头凶猛的动物。
So suddenly the dog, as he was wandering in the forest, he saw Ekalavya.
那当这条狗正在森林里面晃悠的时候呢，他就看到了，突然之间就看到了 Ekalavya。
Ekalavya was dressed in black garments.
Ekalavya 当时穿的是黑色的衣服。
Look very very dirty because of not bathing.
因为他没有沐浴，所以他看着很脏。
His hair, long hair, was unkept.
他的这个长头发也没有梳得很好。
And he actually had a very, very frightful looking, you know.
而且他的这个面目是很吓人的。
So the dog started barking.
所以这狗就开始叫起来了。
So Ekalavya wanted to show his prowess. He pulled out his bow and arrows, and he shut the dog's mouth with seven arrows, small arrows.
所以呢，这个Ekalavya 为了要展示他的威力，所以呢，他就搭弓射箭，用七支箭射中了狗的嘴。
So the dog went back with his mouth shut with seven arrows. He went back to the Pandavas.
所以呢，嘴里扎着这七根箭的这条狗呢，就回去找潘达瓦了。阿叔
，The Pandavas were amazed. Who could shoot these arrows in such a way to shut the mouth of the dog without killing him？
那所以说，这个 Pandava 看到狗的这形象呢，就觉得很惊讶，就在想谁能有这么卓越的技艺， 能够在不杀死狗的情况下，然后呢又把这个箭这样射中狗的嘴呢？
So they went farther into the forest and they met the Calavia.
对呢，他们就走进了这个丛林的深处，就见到了 Calavia.
So Calavia and they ask him, "Who are you?"
然后他们就问他你是谁呀？
And he said, "My name is Calavia. I'm the son of the king of Nishadas."
他就说呢，他说我是 Calavia， 我是 Nishadas 王的儿子。
And I am also a disciple of Dronacharya.
而我呢，也是 Dronacharya 的门徒。
Wow, they were amazed.
所以呢，他们都感到很惊讶。
So when they went back, Arjuna asked Dronacharya, you know, you have taught this Nishada prince, and he had become so expert, so learned in the heart of weapons.
所以呢，他们回去以后呢，Arjuna就向 Dronacharya 就询问了这件事情，说呢，您教授了 Nishada Nishada's 王的儿子。而且呢，他的技艺非常的高超，他能够这有很高超的射箭的本事。
You told me that nobody would surpass, would be equal to me in using the bow and arrows, but I can see this Calavia is more expert than me.
而且您说呢，不可能有任何人能够比过我的射箭的技术，但是我看到这位 Calavia 他的射箭技术要比我强。
So Dronacharya was very surprised.
所以 Dronacharya 就很惊讶，就很奇怪。
So it took Arjuna to him, and they went back to the forest.
所以呢，他就让 Arjuna 把他给带去见他，他们就来到了这个丛林里面。
Until they found the Calavia.
他们来到丛林里面，直到他们找到了 Calavia.
So Dronacharya could remember him.
然后 Dronacharya 呢想起他来了。
So when the Calavia saw Dronacharya, he offered obeisance, he touched his feet, and he was there in a very reverential attitude in front of his teacher.
所以当 Calavia 见到 Dronacharya 的时候呢，他向他顶礼，并且触碰他的莲花足，而且呢，在他老师面前，他是充满了敬畏之心的。
I am your disciple, my dear teacher.
我亲爱的老师，我是您的学生。
So Dronacharya tell, if you are really my disciple, then you give me some dakshina.
然后 Dronacharya 说，如果你真的是我的学生，那你就得给我一些 dakshina， 给我一些。
Dakshina means is like a retribution for the teaching of the teacher.
那 dakshina 就像是。给老师所献上的供奉。
The student or the disciple should always give a dakshina offering to the guru, to the teacher.
因为门徒呢总是要向 guru， 要向老师献上供奉，献上 dakshina。
So Calavia was very happy to hear that. He said, My master, you tell me, you give me order, and I'll do whatever you want me to do.
然后听了这话呢，艾格拉什就艾格拉夫亚就非常的开心。他说：“我亲爱的老师啊，我很愿意向您献上布施。那您告诉我，我应该向您献上什么呢？我都会做到的。”
So Dronacharya said, "You give me your right thumb."
然后 Dronacharya 说呢，你把你的左拇指，左手的大拇指给我。
You know, the right thumb.
Yeah, 左手的大拇指。Sorry, 右手的大拇指。右手的大拇指。
右手的大拇指。Without hesitating, Calavia cut off his own right hand thumb and gave to Dronacharya.
Calavia 毫不犹豫的，当时就切下了他的右手的大拇指，并且把它献给了 Dronacharya。
So Dronacharya left with Arjuna.
然后真的川尔就和阿朱娜一起走了。
So when the Kalavya, he tried to shoot arrows again, he could not be so expert anymore because he had his right thumb missing, so he could not shoot properly, he lost his expertise.
那这样呢，当 Agalavia 他再次要射箭的时候呢，他就没有办法射得那么准了。原因呢，是由于他现在没有右手的大拇指了，所以他就失去了他的精准度，他的专业度。
So in this way, Dronacharya guaranteed that his blessings to Arjuna, that you will become the best bowman, the best archer, would not be wrong.
那所以就这样的方式呢，Dronacharya 就向Arjuna做出了保证，就是他一定是最棒的弓箭手。
So one time, Dronacharya called all these students and for a test.
那有一次呢，Dronacharya就把所有的学生都给召集齐了，并且要给他们进行一个考试。
So he placed an artificial bird on the tree top of a very, very tall tree, very, very tall tree.
他把一只假鸟放在了一棵非常非常高的树上。
A small bird, a small artificial bird.
这个鸟呢是一只假的很小很小的鸟。
And he told the students, this is your test. You release your arrow and you have to cut off the bird's head. When I'll give you the order, you shoot arrow and you cut the bird's head.
然后 Dronacharya 对他的学生们说呢，给你们的考试就是你们要用箭射下这只鸟的头，那我一说开始，我一发令，你们就搭弓射箭，把这只鸟的头射下来。
So he called Yudhisthira, that was the eldest of the princes.
然后他就先叫来了 Yudhisthira 王 Yudhisthira, 因为 Yudhisthira 是所有的这些王子中最年长的一位。
So you prepare your arrow.
所以呢，你来准备好你的箭。
Do you see the bird on the top of the tree?
能看到树顶，就是在树最高位上的那只鸟吗？
Yudhisthira said, yes, I do.
Yudhisthira 说，我看得见。
Dronacharya asked him, do you see anything else?
然后 Dronacharya 就问他，那你还能看见别的吗？
Yes, I see the tree, I see the bird, I see the tree, I see myself, I see my brothers.
是，我能看见鸟，我也能看见树，我能看见我自己，我还能看见我的兄弟们。
Dronacharya was not pleased.
Dronacharya 不开心了。
You should stand aside. You are not fit to strike the target.
你还是在边上站着吧。你不能就是你没有资格来射这个目标。
So and then he called Duryodhana.
然后他把 Duryodhana 叫过来。
And the same result.
同样的结果。
And called all the other sons of Dhritarashtra, all the other Pandavas, the same thing.
然后他又把所有的 Dhritarashtra 王的儿子都给叫了过来，然后把其他的 Pandava 的兄弟们也都给叫了过来，得出来的结果就是一个。
And he told all them to stand aside to not shoot the arrow.
所以呢，他就全让他们在一边站着，让他们别射箭。
And for the last one, he called Arjuna. He left Arjuna for the last one.
他把 Arjuna 呢放在最后，所以他最后一个叫上来的呢是 Arjuna。
So he told him, you prepare your arrow in your bow and order and wait for my order.
然后他对 Arjuna 说呢，你把你的箭在弓上搭好，然后等着我的命令。
And asked Arjuna, do you see the bird in the tree?
然后他就问 Arjuna, 你看见树上那只鸟吗？
And Arjuna said, I only see the neck of the bird.
然后 Arjuna 说，我看到的只是鸟的脖子。
And Dronacharya asked him again, what else do you see?
然后 Dronacharya 又问他，那你还看见什么？
Do you see the tree?
你看见那棵树吗？
Do you see your brothers?
你看见你的这个兄弟们吗？
Do you see me?
你看见我吗？
And Arjuna said,
阿朱呢说
，I only see the neck of the bird.
我只看得见鸟的脖子。
Wow, Dronacharya was so happy.
Dronacharya 实在是太开心了。
He told Arjuna, "You shoot the arrow."
他对 Arjuna 说，你射箭。
And Arjuna immediately released the arrow and severed the, and he cut off the head of the false bird.
对 Arjuna 立刻把箭射了出去，然后这支箭呢就切掉了这只假鸟的脑袋。
Arjuna, when Drona saw that, he embraced Arjuna so tight, and at that time.He thought that the king Drupada, who had offended him, was already defeated.
然后就在这一刻呢，Dronacharya 就热烈的拥抱了 Arjuna， 他紧紧的把他抱在了怀里。这会儿在想 ，Drupada 的就是当时冒犯了他的 Drupada 已经被打败了。
嗯。So now he had the person who could really defeat Drupada.
因为他现在已经培养出了这位真的能够击败 Drupada 的人。
So one time Dronacharya called Yudhisthira and Duryodhana, the eldest princes.
那有一次呢，Dronacharya 他就唤来了 Yudhisthira 和 Duryodhana 这两位最年长的王子。
And ordered them.
然后给他们下了这样的命令。
Yudhisthira and Duryodhana, you go amongst all the citizens in the kingdom, and if you find someone who has some faults, you bring that person to me.
你们两人呢，到城里面去见所有的这些臣民，然后你见到有任何一个有污点，就是有错误的人，你就把他带来找我。带来见我。
He told, and then he told Duryodhana that that he told you this theory. You find somebody with some faults, you bring that person to me. And to Dronacharya told him, to Duryodhana told him, you go amongst all the citizens, and if you find somebody who is superior in you in quality, then you bring that person to me.
OK, Dronacharya 对 Yudhisthira 王对 Yudhisthira 说呢，你去到这个城里面去找一个去找那个人，那个人呢，如果你要是在他身上找到任何缺点或者错误的话呢，你就把他带来见我。然后他就对 Duryodhana 说呢，你去到这个城里面去看到哪一位哪一个人要是比你更强，比你有更高超的这个技艺的话，你就把他带来找我。
So Duryodhana and Yudhisthira they left.
对 ，Duryodhana 和 Yudhisthira 就出发了。
So in the end of the day, Duryodhana came to Dronacharya.
然后在这一天，这个快要结束的时候呢，Duryodhana right? Duryodhana 就来找。
Yes.
Yeah, Duryodhana 就来找 Dronacharya.
I said, my teacher, I went throughout the kingdom.Searching for somebody superior to me in quality, but I didn't find anyone.
So, 我亲爱的老师啊，我今天在满城的找啊，要找一个比我更强的人，比我有更好的这个品格的人，我都找不着这么一个人。
So, since I didn't find anybody superior to me, I returned to your presence.
因为我找不着任何一位比我更强的人，所以我就只能回来见您了。
So when the evening was about to begin, Yudhisthira Maharaj finally arrived.
然后等到夜幕降临的时候呢 ，Yudhisthira Maharaj 终于回来了。
So he asked Yudhisthira, did you find anybody of inferior quality?
然后呢，他就问Dronacharya 就问 Yudhisthira 王，你有没有找到任何一个不如你的人呢
？He finds somebody with faults.
你找没有找到有身上有错的人
？Yudhisthira said, "Well, I searched all day long. I could not find anyone."
然后 Yudhishthira 王说呢，我这一整天都在找，我真的没找着。
And suddenly, in the end of the day, I saw a Vaishya, a coward boy. He was taking water from a well, and it was on the day of Ekadashi, which is not supposed to take water from the well. And I thought, this person is doing a fault, so I'm going to bring him to you.
但是在晚上的时候呢，我就突然见到一位 Vaishya, 一位牧牛，一个牧牛童。他呢在井里边打水，但今天呢是艾可达西，所以说呢本不应该是在井里边打水的，所以我觉得他这件事做错了，所以我要准备把他给带来见您。
So I was about to arrest him, and then I saw that actually he was taking the water to feed his animals, was not for himself.
然后我就正准备要把他给抓起来的时候呢，我发现他这个打来的这个水呢，并不是自己喝的，是为了给他的动物们喝的。
So I didn't find anyone with inferior qualities, so I brought myself to you.
所以说呢，我没有办法找到任何一个不如我的人，或者是有更低等的这个品格的人，所以我只能把我自己带来这儿见您了。
So at this time, Dronacharya concluded that Yudhisthira was really the personification of humility. He was really fit to rule the people.
So 在这会儿呢 ，Dronacharya 他就下了这样一个结论，就是Yudhisthira 他的确是谦卑的化身，而且呢，他也的确有资格来统治王国里的人们。
And Duryodhana was too proud to be a king.
而 Duryodhana 作为国王来说呢，就太骄傲了。
And if you tried to become the king, you would bring about the fall down of the Kuru dynasty.
如果他要是成为了国王的话呢，他一定是会让库鲁王朝堕落的。
Another time, Dronacharya and his students went to the Ganges to bathe.
那还有一次呢 ，Dronacharya 带着他这些学生们到恒河沐浴。
And suddenly, as he was swimming in the Ganga, Dronacharya was caught by a crocodile.
但是呢，当他在恒河里沐浴的时候呢，突然之间就被一头鳄鱼抓住了。
He was capable of killing the crocodile, but he started calling for his students, please help me kill this animal, rescue me, please help me.
那个超人他本来是有能力杀死这头动物的，但是呢他却在呼唤着他的学生的帮助，他在说救命啊，快来救救我呀，杀死这头鳄鱼，救救我。
And at that right moment, instantly, Arjuna released 5 arrows that killed the alligator. 5 arrows so fast.
就在那一刻，尔朱呢立刻射出了五支箭，杀死了这头鳄鱼。它的速度是非常快的。
The others had not even time to pull his bows. Bows he already had shoots 5 arrows and killed the crocodile. So Dronacharya was so happy and embraced Arjuna again.
那么其他的那些王子们呢，连弓都还没来得及碰到呢，而朱呢已经箭都射出去，已经把鳄鱼给杀死了，所以朱呢超越就非常的开心，所以又一次拥抱了朱呢。
So he gave him a special gift.
所以呢，他就给了朱呢一个很特别的礼物。
He gave him the most powerful weapon, the Brahmastra weapon.
他就把这最有威力的武器 Brahmastra 武器雷射光武器给了他。
This is the most powerful weapon of all celestial weapons.
这是在所有的天仙武器中的最有威力的武器。
This weapon is more powerful than atomic bomb created by the modern civilization.
这个武器要比咱们现在时下所创造的原子弹的武器要更加的具有威力。
And you see in the Srimad Bhagavatam how Arjuna is going to use this Brahmastra.
而且我们在博伽瓦坛里面呢，也读到了 Arjuna 如何运用这 Brahmastra 武器。
in order to protect Parikshit in the womb of his mother.
You mean Krishna, how do you say?
Arjuna.
Okay, Arjuna 如何用这个 Brahmastra 武器来帮来救在妈妈子宫里的 Parikshita 王？
Because Ashwatthama released the Brahmastra to kill Parikshit Maharaj in the womb of his mother, and before the Brahmastra attained the womb of Parikshit's mother, Arjuna counteracted his Brahmastra with his own Brahmastra.
因为Ashwatthama他发出了 Brahmastra 武器，要杀死在Uttara 妈妈子宫里的 Parikshita 王。那么在这个 Brahmastra 武器还没有射进子宫之前呢，Arjuna 他就发出了自己的Brahmastra 武器，然后抵消掉了Ashwatthama 的这个武器。
But then later, Krishna had to protect Parikshit in the womb of his mother because Ashwatthama tried again.
但是后来呢 ，Ashwatthama 又一次发出了这个武器，使得 Krishna 呢就要进入到Uttara 妈妈的子宫里面保护 Parikshita 王。
So, Acharya told, there is no weapon as powerful as this in all the worlds.
所以呢，卓南查尔说呢，在整个这世界中，没有不可能再找到其他的比这个更有威力的武器了。
You have to keep it with great care.
所以呢，你一定要好好的保管它。
And you can only use it against an enemy who is equal or greater than you.
但是你只能够是在旗鼓相当的敌人面前，或者是比你更加强大的敌人那里才能够使用这个武器。
If you use against an enemy who is inferior to you, you will destroy the whole universe.
如果你要是对不如你的敌人来使用这武器的话，你将毁掉整个宇宙。
So he taught Arjuna how to use this weapon by chanting a particular mantra.
所以呢，他就传授给了Arjuna一个特别的曼陀罗，从而教他如何使用这武器。
And again, he gave very loudly. He pronounced his blessings to Arjuna. Never will be an archer greater than Arjuna.
然后呢，他又非常大声的宣布说呢，不可能再有任何一位弓箭手要比 Arjuna 更加的伟大。
You will never be defeated by any enemy.
他也永远都不会被任何的敌人所击败。
And his achievements will be.Recorded throughout the history in the world.
他的成就呢将在世界的历史中被记录。
So this was Dronacharya and how he was so instrumental to train Arjuna and the other Pandavas so expertly, so they made them great heroes that later on.Would be able to be used in Krishna's service to conquer all the enemies of the Kurus.
那所以说呢，这就是 Dronacharya 的故事，他如何作为这样的一个，就他就作为一种工具，非常好的训练了 Arjuna 和其他的 Pandava 兄弟们，从而使他们在将来呢，成为了。Krishna 的非常好的能够征服，就是能够在 Kurukshetra 的这个战场上能够战胜的武士勇士。
So this ends for today our episode on the Mahabharata.
对呢，这个就结束了我们今天所讲的 Mahabharata 这一章的故事。
So if there is any question.
所以大家如果有任何的问题的话，Ashwai, I haven't seen any questions, but can I ask a question?
Can.
Yeah. 因为我还没有看到大家的问题，所以我抽这个空问一下问题。
Shoot your question.
Okay. The question is about Ekalavya.Because Ekalavya, he shows his sincerity to be the disciple of his master, and also he always showing about his obeisances, and he doesn't do any hesitation at all to chop his son to his teacher. This made me feel quite hurt or quite painful to feel that Dronacharya treat him so silently or show so indifferent.
Yeah.
Why is that? 那我想问的问题呢，就是跟这个 Ekalavya 有关。那么 Ekalavya 他觉得他的老师是看似是非常的忠心耿耿的，而且也是尊敬有加的，并且他老师让他供奉 Dakshin 的时候呢，他想都没想就把他的右手的这个拇指就给了他的老师。但他老师呢，始终对他都是非常的冷淡，那这个让我感到非常的心疼。所以说，我想请问阿叔，为什么会是这样的？
Yeah, Ekalavya had a good attitude as a disciple, but he was a prince, heir to the throne of Nishadas, the hunters in the forest, and these people are not qualified to be Kshatriyas. They are hunters, but they are not Kshatriyas, so he didn't want him to become more famous than a Kshatriya, than a prince. So it was just a question of ethics in terms of politics. They could not give a power to a lower class person, uncivilized person, just because he was very skillful. Like today, nowadays, it's like that. If you are skillful and you have the qualities, you can even be a Shudra and take the power, you become a president. But in those days, you have that background, Kshatriya background, to be a prince. Because there is so many qualities attached to that, and so much power and recognition attached to that special qualification should be given to Kshatriyas, not ordinary people.
Okay, thank you, 阿叔。那这个阿叔的解答是这样的，Ekalavya 他虽然说有很好的对待老师的这种姿态。但是呢，他并不是属于刹帝利阶层的，他是属于更低的阶层。那他属于的这个王国呢，是猎人，就他们要做的是猎人，并不是战将。所以说呢，就是作为礼仪，就不能够让他们，就是不能够让他成为刹帝利。而且呢，Dronacharya 要确保他不能够比刹帝利要更强，因为作为刹帝利来讲呢，是有一些名声啊，还有一些其他的一些更加这个高贵的一些这个品质在这里，所以说呢，这些都是只能够是在刹帝利这一阶层的，是不能够给更低的人的。那比如说我们现在当今的这个社会就不是了，就是谁有能力就可以去做这件事情，哪怕他是一个苏卓，但是他如果有能力，他就可以被提升到一个更高的位置。但是在之前的这个年代是不能够这样的。
So it was people with character, with qualities, princes, kshatriyas could be in power, not a Shudra, even though the Shudra might have some ability, like Ekalavya had some ability and a good attitude towards his teacher, but does not mean he had all the other Kshatriya qualities born from a Kshatriya.
所以说呢，就是只有那些有本事、有资格的那些刹帝利，他们是能够被赋予能力或者赋予力量的。但是呢，低等的，就是处于低级阶层的人，比如说像Ekalavya。他虽然说是有一些能力，他有一些这个本事，但是呢，并不意味着他就能够让自己成为一个更高阶的人，成为像刹帝利那样阶层的人。
But in terms of devotional service can be taught to the lowest than Shudras, and that's our case. We are lower than Shudras, and we were taught this process of Bhakti Yoga. So no matter what is our background, we have the opportunity to acquire these devotional skills and serve the Lord.
但是奉爱服务的这门知识呢，是可以传授给任何人的，哪怕是比苏卓更低的人，也都是能够去 学到这门知识，并且呢开始为主做服务的。那这就其实就是我们现在这个状况，我们其实大家都是处在比苏卓更低的这种状态，所以呢就无论我们是出自于什么样的背景，都是可以接受奉爱服务的知识，并且为主做服务。
But we still we are very much criticized in India by the Brahmin class that they think that we are not qualified to perform sacrifices. We are not qualified to receive initiation. We are not qualified to worship the deities because we are born from lower than Shudras. So people are still affected by these principles that were there in previous ages where the Varnashram system was very well established. They still complain about what Srila Prabhupada gave, what the followers of Lord Chaitanya gave to the world, openness to everyone to embrace Krishna consciousness and become qualified to perform anything that the Brahma performs.
但是呢，就是这个状态呢，实际上是很受现，就即便是现在的印度的一些婆罗门的阶层，依然还是在抨击这一点。他们觉得我们这些不够资格的就是不够资格不在那个阶层的人，实际上是没有资格去进行神像崇拜或者进行祭祀的这些仪式的活动的。所以说呢，对于舍拉帕帕之前所做的，就是对于舍拉帕帕他所做到的这一点，依然还受到这个印度的婆罗门阶层的这个抨击，就是因为受到了在之前的所建立起来的 Varnashram 就是社会四阶层和灵性四阶段的这个制度的这个影响而导致的。
Okay, there's a question by Smile.
Smile 的问题是顶白阿叔，每个人的学习能力是有差异的，请问如果天生愚昧反应迟钝，我们还有可能拥有超强的学习能力和某些精湛的技艺吗？如何实现呢？Also, please accept my very humble obeisances because everyone has a different capability for studying. And some of them have the, you know, more sharp intelligence, natural intelligence or inherited intelligence, but some of them is more slow and blunt than the others. So, 我们还有可能超强的学习能力和某些精湛的技艺吗？ So she is asking, is that possible for us to obtain any superior study ability and also, you know, obtain some sharp techniques or some
expertise? Yeah. We may not develop a sharp intelligence or some special abilities, but we all can develop devotion according to our whatever we can offer, whatever service we can offer to the Lord, as long as we are sincere in our service to the Lord, honest and sincere. Krishna will accept our service and will bring about the same result. Means we attain love of Krishna.
那也许可能我们没有超强的学习能力，或者我们也没有办法培养出有精湛的技艺。但是呢，我们都是可以去为，就是我们都是可以有很好的这种姿态去为 Krishna 做奉爱服务的。那么，这个当我们有了这种很好的这种态度的时候，那最后得到的这个结果都是一样的，这个结果呢就是都能够得到对 Krishna 的爱。
So if you are sincere in your attempt to serve the Lord, even though you may not have many abilities or don't have a sharp intelligence, Krishna will give you the capacity to understand him, and to come to go back to him, because that is beyond any material skills or qualified IQ or whatever is behind that.
所以说如果我们要是有一个非常真诚的要去服务 Krishna 的这种心态的话，即使我们没有超强的学习能力或者是没有很精湛的技艺，但是呢 Krishna 他也会 指点我们，然后让我们回到他的身边。因为呢，就是回到 Krishna 的这个身边，它是取决于我们的态度，它并不取决于我们有多少物质的这个 IQ， 就是这个智力，就有多超强的这种智力，或者多超强的能力。
IQ, you don't have IQ in Chinese?
Well, we do have IQ in Chinese, but we always say IQ.
Intelligent,
so,
intelligent coefficient.
Yeah,
high intelligence
coefficient.
Should have a word for that, yeah.
Because we always say IQ, you know, sometimes we don't.
Because you say IQ, okay, okay.
Yeah.
Because there's so much competition among the students in China, so everybody wants to have a very high IQ. Okay, so Arigam says also a question.
Okay, okay. 刚才阿叔说，因为咱们中国的这个学生之间的竞争很强，所以所有人都希望有超强的智商，有高 IQ. Arigam's proposed question: 中国有5000年的历史记载，是不是那时中国历史也是伟大文化的影响，也有与半神人沟通的能力和品质？ Because in China, we also have a, you know, history record about 5000 years. So doesn't mean that. China history also has been impacted by the Vedic culture. And also at that time, the people also have the ability to communicate with the demigods.
Was possible, yes, it was possible. At that time, there was not really China, was Vedic culture everywhere. So what became known as China probably was not from that time. There were a particular race of people that now we call the Chinese. But at that time, might be something different, you know, like in Europe, something different also. And there were, yeah, everywhere there was Vedic culture. Some got impregnate more this culture, some less, but Vedic culture was prevailing all over the planet at the time of Maharaj Yudhisthira. And until Maharaj Parikshit and his sons.
就是当这个 Yudhisthira 王在位的时候，以及后来在Parikshita 王在位的时候呢，就是整个的这个星球都是被伟大文化所影响的。那当时可能并不一定是有中，他那个地方，就当时我们中国人的那个地方并不一定叫中国，但是呢，就是有这样一种人被称为叫中国人。那么，当时整个的，就是所有的这些地方都是被这个伟大文化所影响的。
Arivamsa continues.
目前传统历史说上古时期的事件和人物也往往带有神话色彩，与伟大文化好像很通。目前传统历史上说上古时期的事件。I think he's still referring about the Chinese traditional culture, about that in the ancient time, it seems that there are also some, you know, mystic.Mysterious among the incidents and the personalities. It seems that the R has a lot of the similarities with the Vedic culture.
Yeah, because Vedic culture was propagated all over the planet.
的确是因为伟大文化它是在整个的星球传播的。
Some absorb more than others, but more or less everybody was influenced by this culture.
就是可能有的地方呢是更加的被伟大文化所感染，而有的地方呢可能并不是那么多的深入在这伟大文化里面，但是呢整个这个地方全部都是被伟大文化所感染的。
Yamuna Tira.
咱阿叔刚才聆听了阿叔对 Dronacharya对待Akshalya 的这件事情上的解释，以及以后的Karna 的遭遇，是否都说明当时的 Varnashram 制度已经演变成了种姓制度了？感恩阿叔。So she is asking because just now hear your explanation about the treatment. I mean the attitude from Dronacharya to Ekalavya, and also for the the things happen on Karna in the later time. Does this mean that At that time, actually, the Varnashram system has already, you know, transformed to a kind of a caste system.
No, not really. Not really so much. At that time, Maharaj Yudhisthira, not so much. But there was some kind of, you could say, it's a little bit of casting, you know, the pride of being in a particular class that was there, and they were trained from childhood to develop the skills and the qualities of that particular class. Could be a little bit introduction of the caste system already, could be, because it was in the end of Dwapara Yuga.
那因为呢，这已经是多帕年代之末了，所以呢，可能是已经开始引入了一些种姓制度的苗头。的原因呢，就是因为这人他是出生在一个特定的阶层，并且呢，可能就会因为生活在这个阶层而就有一些骄傲之心，而并且呢，他会因为在这个阶层里面，所以就会得到一些特别的训练，让他就是具有在这个阶层里面的这些本事。
As we see about Ekalavya, yes, he has the attitude, a good attitude towards his teacher, but does not mean he has developed the other qualities that are required for a prince, for a kshatriya. So he should not be taught the skills of kshatriya if he does not develop the other qualities.
因为我们虽然说在 Ekalavya 身上看到了他非常的尊重他的老师的这个品质，但并不意味着他身上就具备了其他的沙地利所具备的品质。那因为他没有这个沙地利的这个品质，所以说呢，他就不能够去向他传授沙地利所应该具备的这些技能。
So a person may be qualified in some particular aspects, but does not mean he's qualified to be in that particular class.
所以呢，就是一个人他可能在某些方面是有一些技能或者是有一些资格，但是并不意味着他就具备了进入到那个阶层的资格。
That's what happened at Karna. Even though he was qualified as being born from the sun god, but he was raised by a shudra, so he was trained as a shudra. He could not participate in a competition that was meant for kings, even though he had the qualification of using the weapons. He missed on other qualities that were proper to the kshatriyas in those days.
虽然说这个 Karna 他是由太阳神所生的儿子，但是呢，他是被苏哲所养大的，所以说呢，也就意味着他没有，他不能够有资格成为王，而且呢，在那个年代，他也不可能因为是苏哲养大的孩子，所以呢，他就能够接受像是沙地利这方面的培训。
But he's gonna have a position. He eventually is gonna have a position. He's going at one time. He's gonna be the commander of the army of the Kurus.
但是他最终呢，还是得到了他的一个位置，就是他最后成为了库鲁王的一个这个指挥官。
At one time during the Battle of Kurukshetra, when Bhishma fell down, he became the commander of the army of the Kurus.
因为在 Kurukshetra 的战场上，当Bhishma 倒下之后呢，Karna 他就成为了库鲁族的指挥官。
So maybe you could deal with the questions from those devotees from that talk with the.
我们在就是在周二的时候有对阿叔的有一个访谈。那在这个访谈里面呢，有两个问题，我们在今天的时候请阿叔也解答一下。一个问题呢是由 Charu Chisho Mataji 所提出的问题。他的问题是这样的。先辈的顶拜阿叔，请问阿叔，你们当初在英语角给新人讲佛家梵歌的哲学，只用了半个小时就可以完成，是如何做到的？请教教我们，非常的感谢。阿叔 ，please accept my very humble obeisances. My question is that when you were in the English corner, you only spend half hour to explain the whole thing of the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. How do you make it? Please, you know, impart the skill to us. Thank you very much.
Well, it would take half an hour to explain that.
那可能要解释，要解释这个，得花半个小时才能解释清楚。
The main thing that we would concentrate on making people understanding that they were not these bodies, they were spiritual souls.
其实最主要的就是我们要让大家，我们就让大家专注在一个点上，就让他理解，我们不是这躯体，我们是灵性的灵魂。
Because this should be the first thing we teach people. That's what Krishna teaches us in the Bhagavad Gita.
因为这个实际上是我们要传授给别人的第一个教导。那么这也是 Sri Krishna 在《薄伽梵歌》中对我们的首当其冲的教导。
So once we understand or we accept that we are not these material bodies, but we are spiritual souls, then we have to accept also that all others in material bodies are all individual souls, even in the form of animals, whatever, trees, you know, whatever is living, they are all spiritual souls.
那么当我们接受了我们不是这具躯体，我们是灵性的灵魂的时候，那就意味着我们接受了其他的所有处在物质躯体中的这些生物体也都是灵性的灵魂，所有的人、所有的动物、所有的生物体。
And the spiritual soul in the human form is in the most capable, the best position.
而处在人类身形中的这灵性的灵魂呢，它是最有能力的，而且呢也是处在最好的状态下的。
And everybody accepts that human beings are superior to other forms of life.
而且所有的人呢也都承认人类的身形呢要比其他的各种生命的形式都要更加的高级。
But if you don't understand or don't accept that we are all spiritual souls, then the tendency is to exploit the inferior forms of life, and that's what sees. Human beings try to exploit other forms of life, the animals, the trees, everything, and even exploit other human beings who are less intelligent, they exploit them. So this kind of exploitation is there because there is no understanding of the spiritual soul.
但是如果我们要是理解不了所有的这些生物体都是灵性的灵魂的话，那就会出现一种状况，也就是现在发生的一种状况，就是我们会剥削其他的更低等的动物，比如说会剥削动物啊，剥削植物啊，就欺负树啊，就会欺负其他人，甚至于这个人也会去欺负比自己不如的人。那这个原因就是由于我们没有认识到自己是灵性的灵魂，没有认识到大家都是灵性的灵魂。
So that is this tendency of exploiting others, and is the tendency of competing with others to be in a superior position.
那所以说就才会有这样一个要去剥削其他人的倾向，还有呢就是要和其他人要进行竞争，然后。得到结果就是希望能够让自己处在一个更高级的位置。
And that's why there is so much problems in nature and so many problems amongst human beings because they are competing, particularly those in souls in human forms are competing with each other to be superior, to be in the topmost position.
对呢，这也就是为什么。在我们的自然界以及在我们的人类社会中呢，有各种各样的问题，有各种各样的麻烦的原因，就是由于，特别是在人类的这种身形中，就一直在处于竞争的状态，总是希望能够把别人挤下去，然后能够让自己处在一个更高级的状态下，更高的位置上。
And because of this competition spirit, there is so much quarrel amongst human beings, this race against that race, this country against that country, and you see more and more this type of situations, you know, where you know people try to dominate others because they think because of this spirit of competition.
那么就是由于这种竞争的。态度竞争的这种精神，那使得呢，就是会有 这个就是这种种族会欺负另外一种种族，这个国家会跟另外一种国家有矛盾的原因，就是因为彼此之间总是在相互竞争着，然后总是想要，就总是想要去占据别人，或者是去这个控制别人。
That's why you see all over the world that was there is no peace.
那就为什么？所以就为什么我们在看到整个这个世界上根本就没有和平？
And if there is no peace, people cannot be happy. It's obvious.
那很显然的一件事情就是，如果是没有平和的话，没有和平的话，就不可能有快乐，不可能有幸福。
And so after explaining this, people, most people can understand, and then see if you are not.If you are not peaceful and you are not happy, this is not good. That means, what's the purpose? Everybody wants to be happy, but because of this competition and exploitation spirit, we are not happy. So this is wrong.
那所以呢，当我们这么一番解释之后呢，听我们讲话这些人，他们就能够明白，就会知道，那如果是没有平和，那就没有快乐。那如果是没有快乐的话，那这人生的这个意义还有什么可谈的呢？所以呢，就能够看出来。就是因为我们之间的这种竞争导致了我们不快乐这种状态，那所以就觉得这肯定是错的。
And everybody wants to be happy.
而且每一个人，但是每一个人都想快乐。
So in order to be happy, we have to understand that we should not compete against others, we should not exploit others. But in order to stop that, we have to understand there is a supreme entity, a supreme soul.And if you are, we're all connected with that supreme soul, which is our origin of all the souls that exist, then can exist cooperation, can exist harmony amongst all the souls. If you're trying to respect and to follow the leader, then there is harmony, there is no exploitation.
所以说就是如果要是知道了你这个不快乐，就知道了自己这么弄不快乐，而且不，如果是没有和平就没有快乐的话，那我们就通过就不去剥削其他人，然后不去这个相互竞争，能够做到这一点。但是呢，在这之上呢，我们必须要知道，就是还有另外一个至尊的灵魂，就好像是有一个领导在那儿。那如果是这个领导呢，他是我们一切的这个灵魂的这个源泉。如果是能够跟着这个至尊的灵魂，跟着这个领导，跟着这个领袖去走的话，那使得我们才会有这种平和和谐的这种可能。
When we accept that is a supreme soul that is our creator, is like our father, is the one who maintains us and protects us.Then we will feel very happy to be under his protection and not try to exploit the other members of the family.
那么当我们知道有这么一个至尊的灵魂，他就像是一个父亲一样，他在保护着我们，在维系着我们的时候，那这会儿我们就知道因为都是在这一个家长的保护之下，所以说我们就不会去欺负这一个家庭里面的其他的这个成员，也不会去剥削人家，不会剥削在这个家庭里面的同一个成员了，同一个家庭。
So gradually, we introduced the aspect of the supreme soul without mentioning so much God that creates the feeling of relation, but just accept there is a supreme soul and we are as individual souls, we are all connected with him, and the best way to really feel that connection is to chant this mantra. Now here we are, we teach the mantra and how to use the beads and use the beads and then read the books. And that's in this way you give the whole package.
那所以说呢，我们就逐渐的就把这至尊灵魂的这个概念介绍给大家。但是我们不会直接说神，因为有神，一说出这个神来呢，就好像有这种宗教的色彩。那所以呢，我们就会说有这个个体灵魂，然后呢会和这个至尊的灵魂连接在一起。那如何和这个至尊的灵魂去相连接呢？就是通过唱诵。那然后我们就会发给大家念珠，然后呢教大家如何在念珠上念诵，并且呢来告诉大家应该读书。所以呢就这样，我们就把整个的这一套就介绍给大家了。
And we tell them very clear, this is not a religion, this is the science of the self.
而且我们也会非常清晰地告诉他们，这不是宗教，而这是关于自我的科学。
How to understand and realize ourselves as spiritual souls beyond birth, death, old age and disease by being connected with the Supreme Soul in this way, live in harmony and peace with all other individual souls.
那如何这个就是sorry, how to realize ourselves,
that we are all individual souls and we are all connected with the Supreme Soul, and in this way we cease to have the exploitation and what is that the other competition amongst ourselves. We try to be connected with that Supreme Soul and be satisfied.
那个我们就告诉他们呢，就是我们如何是这个个体灵魂，然后这个个体灵魂它是永恒的，它是超越于生老病死的这个循环的。那然后呢，这个个体的灵魂呢是和这个这个至尊的灵魂是相连接在一起的。那么只有在这个至尊灵魂的照顾之下呢，才能够这个使这个所有的个体灵魂之间是非常和谐的。这样当和谐之后还能有平和，当平和之后才能快乐。
So, yeah, in a nutshell, it's something like that. So introduced from the concept that we are not these bodies, we are spiritual souls, except there is the Supreme Soul, the Father or the Creator, maintainer of it, because we cannot maintain ourselves. We are depending on some external power. So understand there is somebody who is helping us, who is maintaining us, and then accepting there is a Supreme Soul, and we are all connected to that Supreme Soul, and there is no need of exploiting or compete with others.
所以说呢，我们就总体来说呢，就会跟他们说，我们是个体的灵魂，我们然后还有个至尊的灵魂，然后呢，我们是在这个至尊灵魂的我们是依赖于至尊灵魂的。你至尊灵魂呢就好像是位父亲一样，因为其实我们自己是没有办法照顾好自己的，所以呢我们是需要有一位这个父亲，有一位至尊的灵魂来照顾我们。那然后我们是通过这个至尊的灵魂使所有的这些个体的灵魂全部都连接在了一起，所以呢也就不会相互之间彼此竞争。
And you give example, if in the family the father is a good father andIt takes very nice care, protects his children. The children feel satisfied. They don't quarrel amongst themselves. They don't exploit or try to control each other because they are very well guided by their loving father.
那然后我们又举一个例子，比如说在这个家庭里面有一个非常有爱的，也很好的照顾着家人的这位父亲。然后家里面有几个孩子，那这个父亲因为很好的在指导着照顾着这些孩子们，也就导致了这些孩子之间呢是相互很和谐的这个在一起的，他们不会彼此间相互竞争相互欺负。
There is a question from Yamunatira, no, first leading with Mahabharata, dealing with Mahabharata. Yamunatira is a question.
Let me see.
Related with Arivamsa. Continue the question of Arivamsa.
Okay. Yamunatira Maharaj 的问题，感恩阿叔。继续 Arivamsa 跑步提到的问题，五千年前的中国大地处于原始部落社会，物质文明是处于很落后的时期。为什么和当时印度差距那么大呢？当时的伟大文化是否传播到了中国？The question is that 5,000 years ago, the mainland of China is in the, you know, very primary tribe society. So there is a huge gap, you know, from the cultural development, civilized development, there was a huge gap.With India, India, because at that time India is a Vedic culture. So why at that time the area of China is so much behind than the area of India?
No, Well, we can, this is what historians try to tell us, just make them understand, make us understand now that now people are more civilized than in the past. So that's the tendency of the historians to put the people as primitive people now because we have cell phones and we have cars, we are more civilized.
给我们讲述之前的这个历史，是告诉我们之前是处于更加原始的状态。然后呢，那让我们知道，就是让我们有种感觉，就是现在我们是更加的物质文明发达的时候，因为在当时那年代也没有科技，然后也没有手机，而我们现在呢，有了所有的这些科技的这个东西。
So certainly, it's not that everywhere in the world they had the same.Advancement in culture, but they were more, they were not tribal society 5,000 years ago as we see now. Now we are all tribal society because we are killing each other, we are destroying each other, and we are creating only machines to destroy humanity. Now we are tribal.
那在当时的这个年代，也许可能这些地方可能并不是那么的发达，但是并不是所谓的原始的部落社会。那其实我们现在所处在的状态才是部落的状态，因为我们现在所处的状态呢，就是彼此之间的相互残杀，然后呢we were killing to each other and
exploiting each other.
哦、oh, ，对，我们彼此的相互残杀，然后呢，我们这个彼此的相互的剥削。
嗯、we are using all kinds of machineries to destroy humanity.
啊，对，然后对我，然后我们用各种各样的机器的这种手段去杀的来这个杀死我们，就是再来破坏我们的这个人类的文明。
So 5,000 years ago.It was the beginning of Kali Yuga, so you can expect that things start becoming degraded, but still, they were much better than the situation at present.
那么在五千年以前呢，是卡利年代即将开始的时候，也就是说呢，在五千年以前那会儿就即将要走向堕落，但是当时的状态呢，也要远远的好于现在我们所处在的状态。
Okay, the question of Panchatattva Prabhu.
Panchatattva Prabhu, Dimbai Prabhu. Tamala Krishna Goswami Maharaj 说呢，他有一百种方法传播 Krishna 知觉。您知道这些方法吗？Please accept my humble obeisances. Tamala Krishna Goswami Maharaj said that he has 100 ways to preach Krishna consciousness. Do you know some of these ways?
Yeah, and you too. You know, according to...place according to people we are speaking about Krishna consciousness we use different techniques
对我的确知道而且你也应该知道我们应该根据人地点和这个处境的不一样我们是会用各种各样的不同的方法来进行传教的
if you are teaching to a group of people who are interested in medicine andspeak about the body, then you can mention how in the body, where in the body life is situated, you know, and try to make them understanding that the life is beyond the material manifestation, is beyond the heart, is something that is not material. You know, so you can introduce them because they open the bodies, open the hearts, but they don't see really the soul, the origin of life. They don't know where's the origin of life, so you can speak about that to people who are interested in human anatomy.
那就如果你要是跟一群这个医学院的学生在讲述的话，那么这些学生呢，他们在学习的时候呢，会对这个人体进行解剖，但是他们在解剖的时候，其实并看不到这个生命的起源是来自于这个身体的到底哪个位置的。那所以说呢，你就可以跟他讲了，就这个生命它是在心脏的这个位置的这个地方，那就可以就这个来展开这个话题。
If you are speaking to a group of people who are interested in yoga,
那如果你要是跟一群对瑜伽感兴趣的人在讲述
then you can explain the higher principles of yoga, because they all know about mystic powers, but you can explain how these mystic powers are actually had already been achieved by material science.
那然后呢，你就可以跟他讲述就是更高的瑜伽的原则。那么因为很多人他都知道在瑜伽上其实是有这种玄秘力量的，所以呢就可以从这个角度来讲述如何达到更高的愿望。
No, to explain how these mystic powers have already been achieved by material science, they are not extraordinary.
Okay, 就是这个瑜伽的这个玄秘力量其实已经被这个科学家所达到了，所以说呢，它并不是那么了不起。
We can also walk on the water with boats, we can fly in the sky with aeroplanes. Now, we use material instruments, but we are achieving the same thing as the yogis achieved. So, this is not very, very extraordinary.
对，比如说呢，我们可以在用船在水上行，可以用飞机在天上飞。那这些虽然我们现在是在用各种各样的这种器皿达到了这些这个就是达到了这些愿望，但是跟瑜伽就是跟瑜伽师们所达到的这个效果是一样的，所以说呢瑜伽师们他们所达到的这个玄秘力量也没什么了不起了。
But there is one mystic power that we can acquire, that is the control over birth, death, old age, and disease. And this is what is extraordinary.
但是呢，我们可以获得一个玄秘力量是什么呢？就是能够控制住生老病死的循环。那么做到这一点才是真正的了不起呢，非卓越呢。
And through this Bhakti Yoga process, you can achieve this ultimate mystic power of conquering birth, death, old and disease, and achieve a position of eternity full of knowledge, full of bliss.
那么就是通过这个 Bhakti Yoga 的这个修习呢，我们就能够达到控制住生老病死，并且呢能够让自己处在一个永恒极乐，这个处于知识快乐的这么一个境界。那么这才是真正的了不起的成就。
And you don't need to do severe postures like scratching your nose with your toes and things like that. You can just sit down very peaceful and chant this mantra. It's so simple.
而且不需要通过就是很奇怪的一些瑜伽动作来达到这一点。比如说用自己的脚趾去抠自己的鼻子，不需要这么做，只是非常平静的坐在那儿念诵 Hare Krishna 的圣名就可以了。
Because no matter what you do with your body is going to fade away and die. Nothing we can achieve with this body will be permanent.
因为无论你用你的这个身体达成了怎样的成就都不能够长久，因为呢这个身体最终还是会死的，会陨落的。
And if you are a mathematician like you, if you are speaking with a group of mathematician like you,
mathematician,
people were expert in mathematics.
Okay.
Mathematics, calculation,
yeah,
numbers,
yeah,
mathematics.
Yeah.
He's
yeah,
a mathematic.
Yeah.
He's a professor of mathematics.
Yeah. This is really confused. I don't know Panchatattva Prabhu is a mathematics expert. That's why I got confused. Sorry. 就是如果要是您跟一群像您一样的数学家在谈话的话，
You can tell that they know. Number one, which is the number one is corresponds to Krishna.
那你可以对他说，这个一号是和 Krishna 相应的。
In this world, we want to achieve so many things, to learn so many things, to be expert so many things, but all these achievements are just many zeros, one after another.
那么在这世界上呢，其实我们希望能够得到各种各样的成就，但是所有的这些成就呢，只不过就是一个又一个的零而已。
So many zeros, you put many zeros one after another, the result is zero. There's no value.
但是如果要是把所有的零全部都放在一起的话呢，也没有任何的价值，因为只不过是一堆零而已。
Because no matter how expert you are in this field or that field or how much science you learn, ultimately you cannot solve the real problems of life, birth, old age, death and disease.
因为无论您是哪一方面的专家，或者是您学到了什么样的这种科学的话，终极来说都是没有办法解决生老病死的问题的。
But if you learn the real science, the science of the self,understanding there is a supreme self, this is like putting one before all the zeros you have accumulated. Then whatever you have accumulated can get a great value.
但是如果您要是真的学到了关于自我的觉悟的知识的话，那也就意味着其实是学到了一。那也就是说呢，把这一如果是放到了其他所有的零的前面的话呢，那就使得后面所有的零都变得具有了价值。
If you are speaking a group of ladies that are very interested in cooking very nice dishes, you can teach them the heart of cooking, the cooking for Krishna, which gives a very special flavor, special taste, and is free from karma.
那如果你要是和一群很喜欢烹饪的女士，而且呢也有很高的烹饪技艺的这个女士在聊天的话呢，那就可以向他们来传授关于烹饪的艺术。讲到就是在这个给 Krishna 来烹饪呢，其实是能获得这个饭菜的非常好的这个滋味，而且呢还能够这个摆脱业报。
So according to the audience you have when you are preaching, you can adjust your preaching in different ways in order to really touch the things of interest of these particular people. That's why before you preach, you have to know your audience. You have to get to know them, what is their interest in life. So then you can direct your preaching towards what they are interested in, and then gradually give the whole package of Krishna consciousness in a way that they can immediately become attracted from the very beginning.
所以说呢，就是在进行传教之前呢，你要非常的就是要非常好的先要去了解您要交谈的这些人都是怎样的一种情况，所以呢要根据他们的喜好和根据他们的情况来进行交谈。然后如果他们在最开始的时候对于 Krishna 知觉不感兴趣的话呢，那就在他们所喜爱的这个领域里面投其所好，然后慢慢的呢把这个 Krishna 知觉灌输给他们。
So always try to learn people, try to learn their interest, who they are, what is their interest before you start preaching. You have to have a good understanding of your audience.
所以呢就是在我们传教之前呢很重要的一点就是要很好的了解我们所要传播的对象，他们的喜好，他们的兴趣到底是什么。
And if it's a mixed type of people with different interests, then one thing that works always is to have good music and dance. So you engage them in a very lively kirtan and make the devotees dance with the guests and create a very good atmosphere, and they have a long kirtan and dancing and singing. And then in the end, you can present a very little, very simple philosophy. This is how you can achieve the real happiness. It really touch our hearts. Huh? It's not so simple and everybody like. So please continue to chant this mantra. You will be always happy. And there will be always some people who may ask some questions. Then you can then develop a little bit more philosophy. But if they're simple people and they're very mixed interests, chanting the kirtan, with the music instruments, kirtan, nice melodies and dancing, it creates a good atmosphere and everybody joins in.
如果要是一群混合的人，就这群人里面什么样的情况都有的话呢，那最保险的一种方式呢就是唱歌和跳舞，就是你要准备很好的 乐器，然后呢进行相对比较长时间的 kirtan， 然后呢再邀请大家一起跳舞，然后大家都很开心。然后之后在最后这个 kirtan 和舞蹈都结束之后呢，那可能就会让我们再讲一点稍微有简单的一点的这个哲学，然后呢就会跟大家说，你看这就是让你很快乐的一种方式。那怎么能快乐呢？就是继续的唱诵这一 kirtan， 然后我们就会变得快乐。那通常来说就这么做的时候呢，就总是还是会有一些人要提出一些问题的。
So know your audience, know your audience and try to really speak according to their interests and address their interests in the beginning because it's very important.
那所以说呢，就一定要了解自己的听众，然后呢要知道他们的喜好，他们的兴趣是什么。所以呢在在最开始的时候呢叫投其所好，因为这是非常重要的。
Don't start, you know, giving, delivering knowledge without knowing your audience.
那所以呢不要在不了解自己的观众的情况下开始讲述。
And two things that are always very important to carry with you.
那还有另外有两件，就是有两，您要随时要带着两件很重要的东西。
Carry books with you, small books that you can distribute.
首先呢，要带着一些可以派发的小书。
And carry some small pieces of prasadam.
那还有呢，就是要少带一些 prasadam.
These are very powerful weapons.
因为所有这些呢，都是非常的有力量的器。
So even if they didn't understand much of what you spoke to them, if they carry a book with them and take some prasadam, this is already some achievement.
You mean if they get the book and take the prasadam?
If they have not understood much of what you said,
yeah.
But they got the book and got some prasadam,
yeah.
It's already
yeah.
A great achievement.
对，就即便是这个人们没有听太明白您所讲的这个道理。但是如果他要是能够拿到一本书，然后能够尝到一些 prasadam 的话，这就已经是很大的成功了。
You may not see them immediately again, but they already have begun something that's going to bear fruits.
Okay. 就是也许可能您不会再见到他们，但是呢，他们已经得到了一些东西，这些东西呢，可能会使他们将来会结出果子。
That's what we used to do in the beginning. We did not know if you would see the same people again. So we would give the whole package and give them the books, give them prasad, give them the beads. We don't know how much use they're going to have of those things, but they had already begun something that would continue in the next life, or maybe in this life they would meet the devotees again and becoming more interested, more curious, and who knows if some of these people became devotees eventually. We don't know. Or will become devotees in the future.
那我们在最这就是我们所开始做的，因为在最开始的时候我们并不知道我们是不是还能够再见到这些人。那所以说我们就在第一次见到他们的时候呢，我们就把整个这需要给他们东西都给他们了，就是书 prasadam 还有念珠。那我们并不知道他们是不是在这一生会就是会看书啊或者念诵啊，但是呢至少我们把这给他了，就使得他有了这样一个机会。就有可能
Certainly when we are preaching, we want to immediately have some fruits, some results, some people who show really an interest and who knows, you know, ask questions and really have a good interest in and maybe start even practicing in short time. This is very much welcome to have immediately some fruits. But sometimes you just have to plant the seed and you don't know when it's going to fructify.
那当然当我们在传教的时候呢，我们肯定是希望能够有一些很快的结果，立刻就能够找到一些对这个事情很感兴趣，然后就开始念诵，然后开始问问题的这些人。那当然这是非常好的，但是呢我们有的时候呢也是需要播种子，种种子，而这个种子呢在将来是会发芽会结果的。
Okay, smile as a as another question.
Smiles question. 阿底巴拉说，卡尔纳与尔朱纳的箭射的这个技艺谁射得更好？最近看摩诃婆罗多的电视剧，很多情况下展示他们的技艺是相当的，这是否挑战了多纳查拉的祝福呢？阿叔，between Karna and Arjuna, who has the better archer ability skill? Because I'm watching the Mahabharata TV show, the drama of Mahabharata. In many cases, shows that they are equal to each other. So if this also means about is a challenge to the blessing from Dronacharya to Arjuna.
It was, yeah, it was. Karna was also very skillful. And in some situations, he defeated the Pandavas. But the thing is that he was on the wrong side. And that's the problem. When you are on the wrong side, you eventually are defeated. They were not on the side of Krishna.
那这个Karna 他的确是非常的有本事的，他是技艺超群的，而且有的时候呢，这个 Karna 他也能够打败 Pandava 兄弟。但是 Karna 的问题在于哪儿呢？是他站错了方向，他是在另外一个这个团队里面。所以他并不是在 Krishna 这个团队里面，所以说呢，他不可能取得胜利，他是一定会被击败的。
So no matter how able you are, how skillful you are, if you take the wrong side, the side again of those against Krishna, you're going to be defeated.
所以说呢，无论你多有本事，技艺多么的超群，但如果是这位置站错了。那就如果是不是站在 Krishna 这边的话，那就一定是会被击败的。
Yeah, and this is the main lessons we learn from the Bhagavad Gita. If you stay on the side of Krishna, you will be always victorious because Krishna is the supreme person.
那这也是我们在《薄伽梵歌》里面所学到的一个主要的教导。如果你要是站在 Krishna 这一边的话呢，那你永远都是会。取得胜利的，因为 Sri Krishna 他是至尊人。
And if you fight on the wrong camp against Krishna, then no matter how qualified you are, you're going to be defeated.
但是如果是站错了阵营，如果是站在了 Krishna 和 Krishna 相对立的那一边呢，无论你的武功有多高，技术有多么的超强，但是一定是会被击败的。
Okay, we stop here.
那我们就停到这里了。
Thank you, everybody.
非常感谢大家。
A very special thank you to Dana Kelly and Sumukhi Radha for helping us to have this time, this period of time for association.
然后也很感谢Sumukhi Radha 妈姐还有 Dana Kelly。能够使我们能够有这样的一个平台，有这样一个机会，能够在一起联谊，能够讲述这个话题。
A very special thank you to Srila Prabhupada to have told us so many stories of Mahabharata.
而且我们也特别感谢 Srila Prabhupada 为我们讲述了这么多 Mahabharata 中的故事。
And it created an interest for the Mahabharata.
And
Create an interest.
Yeah, 他就使我们创造了对于 Mahabharata 的兴趣。
Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Vyasadeva ki jai, Nitai Gaura Premanande, Hari 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 Go.
Ashu ki jai.Hare Krishna, 亲爱的大家，那我们今天的这节讲课呢就到此结束了。非常非常感恩 Krishna Baladeva Prabhu, 我们亲爱的阿叔为我们的精彩讲述以及对于所有的问题的耐心的解答。谢谢 Sumukhi Radha Maharaji, 的这么美好的服务。感恩所有的聆听的奉献者们。祝大家在 Krishna 之觉之中度过一个非常美妙的夜晚。祝大家晚安。Hare Krishna.